I remember just over a year ago talking on the phone with a reporter from the San Antonio Express News. He mentioned he had to run to check out a story, which at the time seemed a little unbelievable. He said he'd heard reports that a huge hangar at Lackland Air Force Base was being fitted with cots and blankets and drinking water and emergency supplies, apparently as a makeshift shelter for migrants. Well, we started making some calls and found out through an immigration attorney that, yeah, it was true. And he had never seen anything like it. A whole building teeming with families, lots of little kids in tow, all undocumented, and no place for them to go. It'd be another 2 weeks before national media picked up on the story, which came to be known as the migrant crisis of 2014, and it dominated the news last summer. Well, let's fast forward to today. Papers in Houston and San Antonio reporting that last month, nearly 10,000 immigrant families and unaccompanied children were detained at the southwest border. That's an increase of more than 50% over August 2014. Chris Cabrera is a Border Patrol agent in McAllen and vice president of the local Border Patrol Union. Mr. Cabrera, do you think we're looking at the makings of another migrant crisis?
You know, I do believe we are. Throughout the year so far, from January to August, we've arrested 35,000 unaccompanied children. Now, that's just children traveling alone. That's not including the women and children traveling together. So we are seeing a pretty big spike.
If these numbers, I mean, they do seem extraordinary. What do you think accounts for the uptick?
You know, I think a lot of it is the political climate, what's going on right now with some of the recent court cases saying that we can't hold people in certain shelters, the fact that there is no detention space, and with all the immigration news going on right now, people are really trying to get over here before something changes.
Just to be specific, as some people may recall, a federal judge in California ruled earlier this summer that the Obama administration's policy of detaining families in these, you know, detention centers in South Texas violates a longstanding court agreement, and the court ordered the release of those families. You think that word is getting to Central American would-be refugees? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, a lot of these folks that are coming over have family already here in the United States, so I'm sure that these folks that are here already, they call back and let people know that others are coming. Once a group makes it across, they call back home and more. And you see groups that come across and say, well, my sister just crossed last week or my brother last month. And so it's just like a word of mouth type advertising.
Last year, I think it's safe to say that border officials were really overwhelmed by the massive numbers. What are you looking at this year? Are you better able to deal with the surge or no?
You know, we have the facilities to deal with it. However, the manpower is a different issue. Last year, we had a lot of manpower flex in from other parts of the country. This year, we don't have that luxury. So even though we do have a holding facility, short-term holding, we don't have the agents in the field to round everybody up that needs to be caught. And it seems that they're sending the women and children over, and it occupies the agents, obviously. Then they send another group, and then people that aren't trying to get caught. And then ultimately they're sending across the illegal drugs. So we're getting caught up with the people turning themselves in, and we don't have the resources to catch the people that are trying to get away, as well as the narcotics that are coming through.
You said they're sending over families, and then they're sending over drugs. Do you think this is a coordinated effort somehow?
Most definitely. You know, there's people can come across the bridge, any international bridge, and claim asylum, claim a credible fear so that they can get into the country. And that's not a crime. You just walk up to the bridge and you claim it. And we have people that tell us they wanted to do that, but the smugglers, the coyotes down there told them, no, you're crossing this point in this location when I tell you to cross. So they don't have a choice in the matter whether... no matter where they want to go, the cartels control who crosses where and when.
But where do the drugs come in? Is this an effort to try to distract you, or?
Yes, most definitely. They use the human cargo to pass the narcotics. Meaning they'll bring a group of people, turn themselves in, another group of people to run, and then once all of our agents are tied up, then it's like the old end around playing football. Once everybody's tied up in the middle, They try and skirt it around the side.
So if I understand you correctly, it's not that the humanitarian crisis doesn't exist. It's that the humanitarian crisis is being exploited as part of the part of drug trafficking.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a shame. You know, we see women and children making this journey. About a month and a half ago, we had an 11-year-old boy have a heat stroke and die. It's terrible. We see groups of young girls, the oldest being 15. The average age is about 7 in some of these groups, and they're crossing through Mexico alone, and they can very easily be victims to some of the predators that are out there, and nobody wants to see that happen, no matter what your nationality is. You don't want to see somebody getting taken advantage of, lose their life or their innocence for whatever reason.
Chris Cabrera is a Border Patrol agent in McAllen, vice president of the local Border Patrol Union. Mr. Cabrera, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
With a view from the city of McAllen, it's Jim Darling. He is mayor of McAllen. Mayor, last year, your city was right in the middle of this crisis. I remember hearing stories about people getting off buses and not knowing where to go. Could you describe what you were facing last year?
Well, I mean, everybody was facing kind of a situation that nobody was prepared for, including the Border Patrol. And so we had droves of people, literally 100, 120 people a day, family members coming to our bus station after having been released by the Border Patrol with a promise to appear, who lacked basic hygiene, they were hungry, not very well clothed, and ready to go on a trip up north, probably with being worse shaped than when they got there than when they left our bus station.
Those numbers that you describe, how on earth was McAllen able to absorb those people, and what did you do?
Well, we partnered with the Catholic Charities and were able to accommodate them. We had set up a bivouac area, if you will. We had overnight facilities and tents, air-conditioned tents. We provided some portable bathroom facilities and shower facilities. Catholic Charities provided in the hall at the Sacred Heart Church, provided clothes, of hot meal, Pedialyte, things that prepare people, a medical exam. We had a trailer for that.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of getting them up to be ready to take a journey to wherever their final destination was.
So now we fast forward to a year later, and what we're hearing are that the numbers of people apprehended, families apprehended at the border, it's up to, I believe it was 10,000 that were apprehended just in August, and that is something like a 50% increase over August of 2014. Are you concerned that you might be looking at another wave here, another crisis?
Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting. One of the things we heard from Border Patrol is there's a big uptick in Cubans because of the rumor of normalization of relationships, which hasn't actually happened between the two countries. And right now, a Cuban comes across, can seek asylum, and has an asylum here automatically. And so what the Border Patrol does is essentially does a criminal history check on Interpol. I can't imagine that Fidel Castro's government's cooperative with Interpol, but at any rate, if they clear Interpol, then they're released to a hearing date to someplace up north. And so we've had a real big influx in Cubans, primarily mostly adult males coming through Tampico and then through Reynosa and Matamoros to go north. So we had that. And then depending on what's happening, you know, the conditions in Central America haven't been changed very much. And so the cartels still run those countries to a great degree. And there's a lot of kidnapping and forced people into sex trades and those kind of things. So there's still the motivation to put moms and kids on the train up north to try to come to the United States.
We're almost out of time, but I have to ask, do you have a sense that things are stable in McAllen, or are you?
I just got we have a monthly report, and we got the one through September 13th. I know it really is that's 2 weeks old, but we didn't really see a huge uptick at all in the families coming across that have been released, at least, and we would get most of those, by the way.
Jim Darling is mayor of McAllen, Texas. Mayor Darling, thank you very much.
You're welcome.